Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community.
Good morning, Greg LaFollette, Intersection Live. We're doing practice management product review interviews this morning, and I'm fortunate enough to have with me Annie Brown, and Annie is the product manager, acting product manager for CCH's product, and we're gonna visit with Annie. Annie's been doing this for more than just a couple of years and very involved with the strategy side of where this product goes, and intimately familiar with the product roadmap and all parts practice management. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning, Greg.
And you office in Pensacola, and we're recording this on September 2nd, the day after Gustav. Are you and your office mates safe and dry?
We are safe and dry, Greg. The only hitch that I actually had was I was supposed to fly out to Torrance, California yesterday, one of our offices out there, and
sure,
our airport was closed. But
right,
we did really not have damage. So
good. Well, I'm glad that works out. So Annie, tell me about a little bit about your background. I know I've had opportunities to visit with you and work with you, and I've actually visited in your office in Pensacola. You've been doing this for a very long time. You actually go back to pre-CCH days, right?
I do. No, Greg, I think I've been through 9 buyouts. I started in some capacity working with the company in 1985. So I would say more than 20 years. I have a business degree and an accounting degree. And with that length of time, I've done all kinds of things. I've actually designed and programmed and managed the products and trained. So I do have a wide variety of skills over the years.
Well, that explains why you have such a deep and rich understanding of what happens. I've actually presented with you and watched you as you deal with accountants, and you certainly know the product, but not only the product, but the genre and the practice of public accounting. And I think that's more important probably than any of the rest of it. So your product has a deep and rich history. Tell me a little bit about some of the metrics for the practice product. How long has it been around, and kind of what's the heritage there? How many firms use it? Numbers. We're accountants. We all love numbers.
I'd be glad to. We actually have customers on 3 different products at this point in time, and part of that is because, you know, in the industry there are acquisitions. And so our current product that we're selling right now in the United States is practice management. And that product stems from CPA software. We were acquired by Sage Software, and then we were acquired by CCH. So that's a product that was brought out in 2006. And then we still have some people on the older product, the practice manager.
That's the PACS product, right?
No, the PAX product is practice and advantage, because it has an advantage database.
Right.
So there really are 3 products currently. We have users on 3 products. You know, the interesting thing about a practice product that I like to talk about is that when we look at statistics, Greg, we have over 132,000 workstations that we support, which translates into over 4,500 firms. And part of that statistic about the workstations that is so interesting is the fact that when it's a practice product, if you put it in a 400-man firm, that there's 400 people generally touching the product. And so it means that we do have an awful lot of users, and we support a lot of workstations.
Sure. Sure. So summer is traditionally the the install and implement season for our profession. So it might be I was going to say it's not busy. It actually is busy season for accountants. We now have busy and busier season. But, once the busy, the tax season is over, accountants tend to kind of look at things and say, well, you know, what do we do to streamline our practice and things? And that's the time when they want to install and implement things such as a new practice product. That's kind of the busy season then for you. Is that right?
I think that is true to some extent, Greg. I would say that we certainly have a wonderful selling season in after tax season. Then I think it picks up again actually in the fall. And I think that reason is a lot about budgets. When they've gone through tax season, they may have put off looking for a new piece of software, so they renew their energy and go out and take a look. The other thing that happens in the fall is that they reevaluate their budget again, and if they at that point haven't made their purchase, I believe what happens is they look at their budget and they understand that then they have an opening and a window that needs to close by tax season. So I generally see it broken into two areas depending upon the culture of the firm and probably the budget of the firm.
Sure. So it's a little kind of a May and October thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
I think very much so.
So how is that season shaping up for you right now? Imagine you have a whole bunch of people who are involved in that, and many firms involve your people not only when they're implementing the product, involve your people for best practices involvement, consulting and installation. How's that going for you guys?
Well, you know, I think working for CCH has been just really interesting for me at this point in my career, because you never know it all, Greg. You know, you always come into a new situation and you see new strategies by different companies. We sell and have been selling this summer firms anywhere from a two-user firm just getting going to 700 users. And so, it's always interesting with this particular product, I think, to see the wide variety of circumstances that you run into. We have a team that just works with the conversions, which most firms all go through a conversion.
Sure.
And we have training teams. And so as you're talking about the seasons in May and October, we have all these teams heavily engaged. And CCH decided to look at their training systems, and so they've revamped the training. And, of course, over the years, the first thing I saw was we migrated, I think, a few years ago to the offer of web classes. I'm sure you kind of saw that happening.
Right.
And that feels it's a great need there. In prior years, we used to have everybody come into Pensacola. The web classes are a great need, and they fill that need for the marketplace. But what I've seen recently is that we've revamped again, and we have a initial offering for best practices, and then we have an advanced offering for best practices.
I see.
And so I think that's also a need in the marketplace, where a consultant can guide a firm through their implementation and the important decisions they make when they're brand new. But that's not the only time you need to do that. Even if you've been in practice and you've been using the software, let's say, for 5 or 6 years, a new class to go back through what you were not able to absorb when you first got going is still very valuable. I think it's on the other end. As I just mentioned, I keep learning more. It's and that's what's so interesting about it. And
sure.
I think our users have the same ability to say, okay, we're not satisfied. We've done a good job, but we'd love somebody else to come and join us, and let's see what we can do to raise the bar.
Right, because your consultants in most cases are in hundreds of offices in a year. So
you know,
they, You're constantly refining those best practices, right?
Yes, and I think that's, again, one of the insights that you get. No matter what your background is, no matter how many degrees you have, the insight to go into so many different businesses and of different sizes is hugely rewarding. We learn just as much, I think, when we go as they learn from us.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the new users, Andy. You told me earlier that you have new users from like 2 to 700. So a two-person firm maybe starts a couple of people leave maybe a larger firm, decide they're going to go out on their own, and they start a practice, and they're brand new, and they call their CCH rep and decide to begin using your product. Also, another firm across town, a couple of large, 200 or 300 person firms merge, and they may have two different products there, and so they go out and do an evaluation, and maybe they don't use either product that they had before, but they decide to use your product. I suppose both of those happen. If you look across all of the new users that you get, Annie, give me a little flavor of where they come from. Are they brand new firms, or are they combination firms? How does that kind of play out?
Well, Greg, I think that it's different depending upon the size of the firm. Generally, it would be, in my experience, odd to find a 25 person firm who is brand new to software, to practice software.
Sure.
I think in today's age, we might have found that actually 20 years ago, but we don't run across that these days. We do have a team that just goes out and looks for the 2 to 10 person firm because many times they could be manual. Even in today's age, you would just be really surprised. It'd be a very, very small firm, but I think you'd be surprised at how many of them still are using spreadsheets when I say manual. But then once they hit 15 or 20, it's really not manageable to use spreadsheets. And so they are on some sort of competitive software, and, of course, the software would be different depending upon whether they're a small firm. Most of the larger firms are on named products that you and I both know.
Sure.
And, when it's a large firm, it's a 700-person firm, they are coming from some software. But right. I think you're right that there are decision points in a firm when they decide to move to a new piece of software. You need to understand what the pain point is that drives them. And it is many different things, but certainly to the point that you mentioned about combining offices when they're acquiring new offices and new firms, merging them, that certainly is a time that that I think forces the firm who is making the acquisition to reevaluate whether they have the right software or not.
So let's talk about the product specifically, Annie. What do the users most like about the product? And let's get real, real specific. If you say that it's user friendly, I'm going to laugh out loud at you. So let's just talk about one or two things that really, really. As you're doing I've seen you at trade shows, for example. If you're doing kind of a demo, you're showing somebody the product, and all of a sudden they have that aha moment, their eyes light up, and you've really got them. What does that for them?
I have lots of experience in that, and I can tell you when that happens. We go through time entry, and I think actually time entry is has wonderful features to it, but I would say after we show time entry, we generally go in to bill the time that we have entered, and we go through our selection process of what we want to bill from the work in progress. But when we go into invoicing then to actually develop our invoice, to make that decision about the our client-facing product that we're going to develop, that's when everybody, I think, in the audience has that moment, because it is easy, and I am going to use ease of use. It is robust in that you come into this word processing session, and on the fly, you can keep changing the format as many times as you want until you get that invoice to look just like you want it to look. And I will say, in working with partners over the years and bill managers, that's a big deal about their invoices and what and they want. It's an impression, I think, for their clients of them.
Right.
For one thing. So one thing's an impression. And then the other thing that you must know, going back to our conversation about working with so many firms, is that even within a firm, there's so many different preferences about the look of the invoice and what they think the client needs to pay from.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing to me with practice management is that there are so many different functions. You know, the for example, as you're talking about the billing function in many firms, for that 700 person firm that you're talking about, there probably aren't 10% of those people who even know about the billing function, much less care. All of those people care about the time entry, because that's their interface to practice. But the billers, as a rule, may not have nearly that much impact, they're not impacted that much from the time entry side. So there's lots of different sides of this product. It makes it really interesting, very different from anything else.
I really do agree, Greg. I will say that what our goal was on the time entry folder over the last years, I'd say even the last decade, is to work toward helping the firm make the staff better able to be self-directed. Do you remember the days when they had to go to the administrator to get anything or understand anything or get their statistics? And I think we constantly try to help them out.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, the interesting thing to me about practice management, Annie, is that all firms want, all users want flexibility. But one person's flexibility is another person's complex problem. And flexibility causes things to be complex and kind of depends on which side you're looking at. Now, you guys do an awful lot of work in what you call contextual design. You work, I know, really, really hard with lots of firms trying to figure out, where there should be options and where you should lead a firm and things like that. Talk to me a little bit about some of what that process is like.
I'd be happy to. Contextual design is really all about taking features and translating features that an accountant is going to need from what their manual process might be or their current electronic process, translating that into a piece of software that has followed the flow of what really needs to happen. So we need to understand A to Z what is needed and what needs to be accomplished and in what order.
Sure.
That the accountant would be doing that. When you translate that, you have a backbone. And then it's not complete. You understand the process that they do. You've talked with them. You've had focus groups. Now, that's just stage one. Stage two is that when you feel like you've talked with enough people, you own that process. You feel like you really understand it. You're still not done because you still have to translate it into screens and windows and take something that might be complex and figure out how to make that bite-sized, easy for somebody coming into the software to recognize the process and to easily be able to go right through all those steps that you documented.
Sure. So, Annie, we're time's getting to be a little bit of a concern here, so I want to wrap up with just a couple of last questions. One of the things that I find interesting in practice management is it's interesting to look at firms that have great success with other kinds of products, but somehow fail with their practice management, and sort of not just your product, but anybody's product. There are good users, and then there are other users that just never quite. They just don't seem to thrive. And I know you know the ones that I'm talking about. What is it that makes a good user? It's not somebody who's technical enough to know when to push F4.
That's a good question. Here's how I would answer that. I see differences in attitudes about, let's say, a CPA firm and their software vendor. You know, we've always said over the years that we want to be partners with a CPA firm. That really is our mentality. And the reason is that if we're partners, we're both trying to figure out solutions. I think for the CPA firm that does not want to be a partner and doesn't want to be part of figuring out the solutions with us, it causes a roadblock. And one of the reasons is because it is an enterprise-wide model.
Sure.
So it's not just a one facet. There's so many facets I think we mentioned earlier in our conversation about a practice, a product in a firm. It touches so many people. It is that kind of complexity that is inherent in that product. And I think I found wonderful attitudes with CPA firms makes us successful because when they do have a roadblock, when you consider the 132,000 users that we have and the 4,500 and more firms that
sure.
that all have a different culture, we have a big job on our hands, and yeah. they also have one when they adopt the software as well.
Right. So, yeah. Annie, let's talk for just a second here. Give me the elevator pitch on future enhancements. I'm not going to ask you specifically what you're going to do next week, but give me an idea on the roadmap for the next 1, 2, 3, 5 years. Where is CCH taking this product?
We are taking practice management, which is the product that we are selling currently, through numerous releases this fall and on into 2009. We'll have a release. We just had a release. We'll have another release in September and then one in November and January and so forth. So we continue to work on our product that we are currently selling. However, the bigger picture is for the next 5 years, we are launching into a suite of products with new platforms, offerings, and new tools, using new tools. And practice is one of those initial products that we're bringing into the brand new suite. So we'll be looking for a practice release in Q4 of 2009 in the new suite of products. Very exciting. And then on for the next several years, we'll be going to new platforms and adding more products into the suite. So it's a very exciting time for us.
It's going to be interesting. Are we going to be, and Annie, this is just between you and I, nobody else is listening, where are we going to be in another 5 years? Will we be all SaaS, do you think, or it'll take longer than that?
You know, I don't know. I just don't have a feeling for that. And one of the reasons that I don't, Greg, is probably because of the number of years that I've been involved with practice products, and I remember my first design in 1988, and I still see bits of it come on 20 years later.
Absolutely.
So if you had asked me that in 1988, I would have thought that would have all happened in the next 5 years. But it's not exactly what you think. There's so many factors, I think, because of tools and technology and competition and just many factors that I'm not going to predict on that.
you're absolutely right. My prediction is that wherever we end up, that CCH will be there with a world class product at that point. I'm confident in that, right?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good. Annie, thank you so much for your time. I've been visiting with Annie Brown, the product manager for CCH's practice product. And Annie, thank you so much for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you, Greg. Glad to.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisor's other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune into future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.